And I know, well, most of you, many of you were with us last year. Last couple years we taught the Passover. I'm sure there's a number of guests. Maybe you missed the services last time around. But again, as a Messianic Jew, a Jew that believes in Jesus as the Messiah, you know, my family, well, we celebrate Passover a little bit, you know, cousin's house, whatever, extended family. But to tell you the truth, I didn't understand really what this was about before I came to know the Lord. I knew that, you know, hey, you get some pretty good matzah ball soup, and, you know, it's a nice dinner and all that. But you know, it's just a family kind of get-together for most, many Jewish families. And that's nice. But there's a lot of deep symbolism here. And for most of you, I guess you figured out the Messiah part of the equation, but I presume you don't know much about Passover. And so you're looking at it from the other angle. It's like, hey, I know the Messiah, but I didn't know he was in the Passover. Well, he is. He still is, I mean, in a very symbolic, distinct way. So we're going to talk about that this morning. And you should all have a yellow pamphlet on your in your bulletin, and this is the kind of the order of service we're going to be following here. Notice that it says Passover Seder on the cover. Seder means order of service, because what the Passover is, it is a nice formal dinner that we have every spring. This year, the night of March 27th, we start Passover, full moon of the Jewish month Nisan. And every year, for 3,500 years, Jews have been celebrating this holiday. It is the oldest religious holiday in among mankind, and for good reason. Very important story. You know, I know you guys have already memorized the book of Exodus, so I won't, you know, worry with you on that. But you know the story of the redemption from physical slavery. You know, God brought the Jewish people out. But yet, what is especially interesting is to see the spiritual redemption, also in the Passover. So Seder is the word for order of service, you know, how we walk through this dinner service. I'll remind you that today is not a dinner. So if you came hungry, there's a little bit of horseradish on the plate or whatever, you know, help yourself. But this is a symbolic Passover, obviously abbreviated. You're talking a 4 or 5 hour service normally, so I understand you guys want to get home before dinner. But we'll kind of boil it down to the service today and hit some of the highlights, the items on your Passover plate under your seat. And you'll notice inside the program, there's about 14 steps to this outline of the Passover. And we'll walk through it and see how this all relates. Of course, the Last Supper was a Passover. And, you know, the more we understand Passover, the more we will understand our spiritual redemption in Jesus. Notice that the service starts with what's called the Kiddush, that is the blessing of the first cup. Under your seat there, you have a cup of grape juice. And I remind you, well, I should tell you, there are 4 cups of the Passover. So this is 4 sips. Okay, don't get too thirsty on the first cup. It's symbolic, ceremonial sips, so save 4 sips through that. And yet we'll bless the first cup of Passover, if you're taking notes or for your information, is called the cup of sanctification. So we're sanctifying the event to the Lord, a holy occasion to the Lord. And so let's raise our cup together, and I'll sing the Hebrew blessing, as is done. And some of you old-timers here may remember a few of those words. You'll remember amen, I hope, that you guys say that once in a while. So you can sing with me if you know the tune. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pori hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's created the fruit of the vine. Amen. You may take a sip. So the first cup, sanctification. Well, there's a washing of the hands, sanctification, of course, coming cleansed before the Lord. And yet we come to the next item, eating the green vegetable, which on today's brunch is parsley. So you got a little bit of parsley on your plate there. And green vegetable, because we're told that it's to remind us of life. Passover, springtime, new life. And yet this is our life. And we symbolically dip it in the water. This is salt water on your plate too, that little container. Dip it in the salt water, because that is the bitterness of the tears of our life in slavery. And you may eat that to remember that. You know, it's not a bad thing to remember once in a while where we came from. I find it very interesting, Passover. It's not only, I mean, it is a great joyous feast, redemption, lots of good food, but in the middle of it, we have these bitter herbs, salt water, you know, and we're told to remember, at least as we're celebrating, you know, the blessings we have, hey, you know, that's where I came from. And I'm sure there's a lot of interesting testimonies in this sanctuary today. You know, a lot of bitterness when we're trying to do things our own ways, isn't it? I mean, maybe it's just our own foolishness, our own stupid choices at times. But most of us know what we're talking about, the tears of a life just away from God. But isn't it interesting that at Passover you remember, hey, I was once a slave. I was in tears, but God has set me free. And I think that is perfect for us this morning, don't you? Thank you, Lord. We're not in the bitterness anymore. But where would we be without the grace of God? It helps us appreciate the grace even a little bit more, hopefully. So the green vegetable. What happens next at the Passover meal? Again, you have to imagine that it's a dinner table, and we have some of these symbolic elements set out, and Grandpa or you know, the father, whoever's leading the family celebration, is explaining some of these ceremonial items. And we come, though, to what's listed there as the breaking of the middle matzah. And you have some matzah on your plate. That's the unleavened cracker. No leaven. Here I have a more of a traditional element of you know, from Israel, a matzah holder. And some of you remember this, right, from last year. That's very interesting because, as we say, the breaking of the middle matzah, at the Passover dinner, besides the other elements, we have this special container of three pieces of the unleavened bread. And yet three of them are in the one packet. I mean, if you could see, it's like kind of a pillowcase, and three layers in here, three divisions, and a piece of matzah in each one. You know, three in one. I don't know. I couldn't figure that one out for a long time. But that is pretty interesting, isn't it? And you know what? I kid you not. The rabbis still aren't quite sure where this came from, what it means. They do speculate that, well, maybe it must have something to do with unity, because we got three things here in one container. And I don't know, maybe it's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The forefathers are one. Possible. Another theory is that maybe it's the three families of Israel. There's the high priest, there's the Levites, there's the common people of Israel, all united. Again, possible interpretation, I suppose. But this makes a lot of sense to you guys, I'm sure. Three in one, because what a beautiful picture of the nature of God. In case you're wondering, you don't worship three gods, I'm sure. I hope you know that one, right? I know we talk a lot about Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and a lot of us Jews are a little confused sometimes because it almost makes it sound like you've got three gods. But Jesus himself said the great commandment was Shema Yisrael, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. So That's your Christian confession now, right? I mean, the Lord is one. Maybe you haven't thought about this, but it is interesting talking about the triunity of God. It's one God, but yes, the mystery of that revealed in three persons, you see. And I can't really explain it too well. I mean, who can understand that mystery, three in one? But I think this is actually a pretty good picture of it, don't you? Three, now they're each distinct, but they are one. And so this matzah holder, it gets even more interesting. We take out the middle matzah, the leader of the Passover. Middle matzah, not the top, not the bottom. Middle matzah representing who, according to our view? Jesus, the Messiah, the Son. This matzah, of course, here's a full piece here. Here's the part elements. But if you look at your matzah, you can even see it's kind of perforated. It is pierced. It is, of course, unleavened bread. That Passover, we have 8 days of gain out all the Cheerios, all the yum yum donuts, you know, whatever else you got. All that stuff goes out and bring in the pure unleavened bread into our homes. I mean, I hate to think about it. I'll have to start that spring house cleaning soon. But March 27th, it's like that is sundown. That is the time. 8 days, traditional Jews, no leaven in their house. So that's why it's just a cracker, baked this way, perforated, interestingly. Unleavened, doesn't that also remind us of our Yeshua? He is the one who came from the Father. He is without sin, without leaven. And at the Passover, I know we may have a couple Jewish friends here with us today. I know from my tradition, this is just Jewish tradition. I'm not, making this a Christian, story or anything. We take the middle matzah, we break it basically in half. Half of it goes back into the pouch here. And yet this other half is very interesting. It becomes a very central part of the Passover, in fact, called the afikomen. The word is spelled on the back page of your outline. If you just want the spelling on that. And it even appears at the end. The afikomen is a part of the end closing ceremony. Well, afikomen means that which comes at the end. Or you can translate it, he returns. He returns. That's getting a little interesting, isn't it? The middle one, broken, pierced. And the father, grandfather, whoever, at the Passover, this year, will take that and wrap up the afikomen matzah as the Messiah was enshrouded. And you hide that middle matzah as the Messiah was buried, hidden for 3 days. And, to be honest with you, it is kind of like a game with, keep the kids awake. By now it's 10 at night or something. And okay, kids, we're going to hide the afikomen. Grandpa's going to hide the afikomen. Close your eyes. We're going to search for it later. So we don't really know the spiritual significance. I never did. But now it just blows me away. It's like that is the whole story, isn't it? The whole gospel. Messiah coming to us, broken for our iniquities, enshrouded, hidden. And guess what? He will come again. He will come again at the Seder. And there's a beautiful verse I wanted to share, a messianic prophecy that I think speaks to this. We could spend a long time talking about verses about the Messiah. But in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, I think a prophecy that a lot of you are familiar with. The prophet Micah says in the Jewish Bible, "But as for you, Bethlehem Ephratah, you are too little among the clans of Judah. From you one will go forth from me, to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from days of eternity." Mark that verse, Micah 5:2. Do you get what that's saying? that, okay, Israel, it's been a long, hard history, even today, still continuing, but I'm going to send a king to you. He will come from me, like this middle matzah left the father. And what's amazing to me in this verse, it's not just, well, I'm going to send you a king, you know, King Hezekiah, King David, whoever. He says, this king existed from days of eternity. Did you get that? I mean, this king has been around. This king existed before he was even born. The Messiah, obviously. But how beautiful that prophecy is. And this matzah holder illustrates God would send forth his son. Maybe it wasn't in a way that we anticipated. We thought, whoa, great, the king's coming. Yeshua, set up your kingdom now. We're all for that. He kind of surprised people. He said, well, it's going to be a little delay here. My kingdom is not really of this world at this moment. And I must even come to be broken, right? To be broken for you first. But make no mistake, he is coming again. He is returning as that king of Israel and the king of all the nations, all those who call on him. And hopefully that includes every one of us in this room this morning. I mean, that is the gospel, I think, in the Passover. He is there if we have eyes to see. Well, we'll say more about that middle matzah in a moment. We look on part of the Passover service, the four questions, notice in your outline. And normally it's the duty of the children, the youngest child who can read Hebrew, chant Hebrew. Who can do that? We'll settle for English today. That maybe symbolically we could have some of you kids read. Could, four different kids read these questions here in English? And they're good questions to get us thinking about the meaning of Passover. So don't be bashful. You can just read from your seat there. Someone read question number one for us. Someone's volunteering someone. Okay, good.
On all two nights, we eat either leavened bread or matzah. Unleavened on this night, white only unleavened bread.
Okay. Why do we eat unleavened bread on this night? Good question. Number two, please. Yes.
On all the other nights, we eat herbs of any kind. On this night, why only bitter herbs?
Okay, good question. Why the bitter herbs? Number three, please. Okay, in the back.
On all other nights, we do not dip our herbs even once. On this night, why do we dip twice?
Great, thank you. And the fourth one, way in the back there. Okay, thank you. Good questions. And it's almost like you could hear someone saying, don't ask. It's like the answer is about 4 hours long, okay? Because this, by the way, is just an outline of a whole booklet we read through at Passover. And it really is a beautiful answer. If you get some time to go to a full Seder with a Jewish friend or whatever, take them up on it. It's really an experience. But the answer is about 3 hours of readings that, you know what, the Lord took us from Egypt. We start reading in Exodus, we read in Deuteronomy, we read in the Psalms, we read what some of the rabbis said about the story, and it's retelling the story of the Exodus, of our redemption, and a real celebration. In fact, that song Dayenu that we sang, would have been sufficient. That comes right in that context, like, wow, God has really blessed us. Dayenu, Lord, thank you for everything. And it's really a beautiful praise service at the home. Of course, he delivered us. We have the 10 plagues listed there. And remembering that Pharaoh wasn't so quick to let the people go, and God kind of had to convince him a little bit. He got the point sooner or later. Let the people go. The Passover offering is very interesting, the next thing there, because what that refers to is this Passover plate. And I know you've probably seen this before. I think you've used this in your services, communion service, look familiar. This is a Passover Seder plate. It says Pesach in Hebrew there, Passover. And if you look closely, it has like six different places for these elements. You know, the bitter herbs, the apple mix, parsley, etc. And that's a beautiful one there. So we have this plate out on the table, and in the midst of a full dinner, we explain all these elements and try to learn the lesson of our redemption. One element, I mean, that you'll find very interesting is the shank bone of a lamb. If you know your Bible a little bit, that was the first Exodus, wasn't it? Judgment was coming. You know, God, it was actually the last plague, right? The slaying of the firstborn. And God said, I'm going to send the angel of death. I've had enough with, you know, these guys, not letting my people go. And the angel of death is coming over the land, and there's only one way of getting out of the judgment. And what was it? The lamb. You know, every house take a lamb, and specifically, kill that lamb. Put the blood of that lamb on the doorpost of that house. And when the angel of death comes, he will pass over. Of course, the name of the holiday. He will pass over that home and not stop. Death will not come there. Judgment will not come there if he sees the blood of the sacrifice. I think it's very interesting that God did not say, well, I'll tell you what, all you Jewish guys, you're cool, you know, you don't need anything, and I'm just going to judge the Egyptians. He didn't even say that. In fact, if you read the details of Exodus, it's very interesting. It actually says a mixed multitude came out from Egypt. Did you ever think about that? I mean, in other words, it wasn't just Jewish families. I mean, you would hope every Jewish family said, okay, Lord, we know you're serious. We're going to get that blood on our door. You know, no arguing. We've got enough history with the Lord to know that you listen to him, okay? But what I find interesting, there were evidently numbers, scores of Egyptian, non-Jewish families who said, well, after nine plagues, I think these Israeli guys might be right. I'm no dummy. I'm going to get the blood of the lamb put on my door. And it says that God would just redeem Jew, Gentile, doesn't matter, whoever has the blood. That's the issue. Religious, doesn't matter. Grandfather was a preacher, doesn't matter. It's like, do you have the blood on your doorpost? And again, isn't that the message of the New Testament? The gospel that, you know what, there's the Lamb of Passover, but now there is also the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that Lamb died for us, was slain. That lamb, the blood, is available for us symbolically. But what God is even saying today, I mean, this is the Bible, isn't it? What he's saying that you must have, judgment is coming upon us, upon this world. Judgment is coming, make no mistake. But there is a way of redemption, and it is only God's way of redemption. I know it doesn't sound very politically correct, and, you know, our day and age is like, oh, wait, Rabbi, there's many roads. There's, you know, I'll try my best. I'll, you know, well, read the Bible. I mean, if you believe the Bible, I'm sorry, one lamb, one way, and I'm not going to argue with the Lord on that one. You know, you can talk to him if you want, but I found out it's best not to argue. I think life goes a little smoother that way. But the blood of the lamb, and that is really the question of our redemption, isn't it? Not, Lord, I was religious, I gave this, I did that. I think, you know, we'll all appear before God someday. And that's, as far as I can tell, that's probably the main question he will ask us. Do you have the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost of your heart? I will pass over. No judgment. I mean, I'm happy about that one, aren't you? It's like, man, we deserve the judgment. We have botched up a lot of things. It's called sin, by the way. We kind of forgot that word, too. You know, it's, oh, no, you're dysfunctional, or you're this or that. It's, you know, usually it's sin. Can I reinvent that word? You know, we fall short of God. That's all it is. And we need help. And God sent the help. Man, this lamb of God, shank bone of the lamb on the Passover plate, what a reminder for us. And I sure hope everyone in this room has that blood applied to the doorpost of your heart. It's not your spouse. It's not your neighbor. It's like, where are you at? And you know what? Please pray for my people Israel. I would say especially on the night of March 27th, March 28th, two nights we celebrate Passover Seder. I mean, millions of Jews going through this, and, well, here's the lamb. Yeah, we talk about it a little bit. Okay, happy Passover. We miss the spiritual point. But I'm praying for my own people, my own family, extended family, that, Lord, just reveal Yeshua. Pour out your spirit. It's all here. What is the afikoman? What is that mysterious matzah? What about the lamb? And God is just going to do a work. I mean, he promises he will restore Israel. So this shank bone, oh, that is so important, so special to each and every one of us, isn't it? Thank you, Lord, for your lamb who takes away our sin. Okay, well, don't get me going on the four-hour version, okay? But it's so much here and so beautiful. The more you look at Passover, let's go to the back page, and you see we have the second cup. The second cup of blessing. So again, you have your grape juice. And at this point, we bless God with what's called the cup of praise. First cup, sanctification. Second cup, praise. It's appropriate, right? We're beginning to get the idea of what God has done for us. So we lift the cup of praise and bless his name. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Praised art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's created the fruit of the vine. You may take a sip. Yes, we do praise him. Okay, another washing of the hands. We will combine a couple things here, this motzi, matzah, bitter herbs, etc. You have on your plate a little piece of matzah, and you have some stuff that it looks like horseradish, and guess what? It is. And so what we do at this point, we put a little bit of the horseradish on the matzah. This is an interactive teaching. You get a taste your sermon today, right? So that's pretty cool. But a little bit of horseradish. If some of you are suffering from sinus problems, put a lot of horseradish. Okay. And then put some of the apple mix, too. So it's kind of a combined sandwich. Horseradish, apple mix. The apple mix is sweetness. Very interesting little symbol here because it's the bitterness with the sweetness. And this is kind of what God is doing for all of us. I mean, there's probably some bitterness in life and our experience, but God says, I want to take you to the sweet place, the sweetness of that apple mix. So when you have the horseradish apple mix, you can eat. Now some of you really remember the bitterness of life, right? But horseradish, again, graphic example, illustration of where we were, but where the Lord wants to take us. Okay, well, just a couple more things here. Notice that in the middle of the page there, we have the festival meal. I remind you, this is a symbolic Seder, so if you're hungry still, got some matzah, whatever, help yourself. But lunch is down at Burger King or something, wherever you go afterwards. But symbolically, this is when the meal would be served. And I mean, a real nice, you know, like Thanksgiving-style meal. It really is a special family event and religious event for a lot of Jews. A meal within all this liturgy and teaching. But notice after the meal, the afikoman is distributed to all. The afikoman, you know, that broken matzah. And you know, to keep the kids awake. By now it's really, you know, 11 o'clock, whatever, they're fading. It's like, okay, kids, let's find the Afikoman. Well, they search and they find wherever Grandpa hid it. And so he returns. He returns after a period of time. Interestingly enough, the grandpa usually gives a little reward to the one who finds him. And I think that's true too. If you find Yeshua, you will be rewarded. This middle matzah, broken for us, is unwrapped. And at this part of the Passover, the leader takes, it has to be this particular matzah, breaks off a bite-sized portion, passes it around. Everyone at the table has to have from this afikoman. And, you know, this wouldn't make it so far, I don't think, in this crowd. So, you know, we'll symbolically use your matzah on the plate. But, you know, it's just the perfect symbolism, isn't it? Of, you understand, it's the Lord's Supper. This is the context of communion. And hang on to that matzah for the moment, because we will talk about this and partake, actually, as Passover communion, I guess we'll call it. You know, Jesus said something very interesting at that Passover dinner in Matthew chapter 26. I'm sure a familiar verse, but maybe think with some of this background of Passover, a little different angle on it. It says, while they were eating, Yeshua took some bread, matzah, of course, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples. And he said, take, eat, this is my body. I mean, can you imagine what those Jewish guys must have thought? It's like, well, okay, we got the matzah, we break it, we've been doing this for 1,000 years or whatever, and this is how we do things. And Yeshua said, wait a second. You know this represents our redemption, but the broken matzah is a symbol of my body. Remember, middle matzah, perfect all the way down the line. Middle matzah, broken, and now given to all to remember that his body was literally broken for us. And every Passover, to do this in remembrance of him. Of course, you can do it more often. But as Jews, I'm sure they thought, wow, every Passover is to teach about the Messiah. Hang on to the matzah for just a moment, because he goes on to talk about the cup. Notice in your outline, after the afikoman is the third cup. When he had taken a cup and given thanks, he sang the blessing. He gave it to them and said, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Again, as a Jew, that blows me away. This cup, you know, part of Passover, been there for a long time, way before Jesus. But the third cup, guess what it's called? Some of you may remember. Redemption. Cup of sanctification, cup of praise. This is the cup of redemption to this day. We call it this name. Redemption from Egypt. We usually bless it at the end of Passover. Thank you, Lord. You took us out of Egypt. Happy Passover. See you next year. But Yeshua said, wait, there's a double meaning here. Yes, redemption from Egypt is a good thing. That was God too. You know, we shouldn't downplay that. But a double meaning, if you believe in my name, this will remind you of the redemption from our sin. The cup of spiritual redemption. I mean, that is so perfect. It wasn't something new. Sometimes I think people think, well, Jesus kind of created this new thing called communion. And he, you know, sent Peter down to the 7-Eleven, Jerusalem, and hey, you got to get some bread and got, you know. No, it was Passover. It was like they've been doing this for a long time. But can you see where he just gave that extra spiritual completion to it? And we want to celebrate that meaning, that spiritual meaning, right now, this morning. And think about the meaning of this broken matzah for us. Think about this cup. So let's pray together. Will you pray with me? And let's just look to the Lord on what these symbols mean to us today. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we do give you thanks. We give you praise today, Lord, for all that you have done for us. Most of us in this room have experienced your spiritual redemption, symbolized in this cup, in this bread. Those of us who are believers in your Son, Jesus, Yeshua, Lord, we give thanks at this moment. Thank you, Lord. Help us to understand. Speak to us in new ways about the depths of your love. The Messiah sent to us to be broken, to give himself to take our sins. As believers, Lord, we give you thanks for that. And we will always try to comprehend, but it is deep. Lord, I say a special prayer, probably in a group this size. There are some folks that you're not really sure if you have Jesus personally. Maybe you came today, you're asking questions, a seeker. Maybe a friend brought you here, Jewish or not Jewish. Yeshua, Jesus, is for all of us. And Lord, I would say a prayer for that person, that they would see the Messiah has come for them. Redemption has been paid for them. But we need to reach out and put that blood on the doorpost of our own heart. We need to believe. Lord, if anyone in this room needs that salvation, even this morning, oh God, I pray you help them to call out on the name of Yeshua for salvation. Just say, Lord, I need your help. I have sinned. Thank you for sending your Son to pay for that sin. Lord, I want a new life. I want to live that new life in your Spirit. Oh God, I pray for anyone in this room that needs that, they will call out to you. And for us believers that have made that commitment at some other point, Lord, help us to have a fresh awareness of what you have really done for us. We partake of the bread in remembrance of the broken body of the Messiah. Do this in remembrance of him. You may eat the matzah. And let's lift the cup, the third cup of redemption. And as the New Testament says, he blessed it. I'm sure the same blessing we've used for a while. And thank the Lord for our spiritual redemption in Yeshua. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, borei puri hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, Creator of the fruit of the vine, we do this in remembrance of our Messiah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, that's just so complete to see God's plan of redemption, isn't it? So hopefully all of us can appreciate that in a new way. Well, a final cup. Hopefully you still have a sip left. There are four cups, okay? The final cup. And this is also beautiful. Remember, cup of, what was the first one? Sanctification. Second one? Praise. Third one, of course, redemption. Fourth cup. By the way, this is based in Exodus chapter 6, where there's four promises made to Israel. The fourth promise is, I will accept you. I will be your God. You shall be my people. And that is perfect. Because if we understand, if we've gone through the Passover and we really believe in what this is talking about, we do become the sons and daughters of God. So let's lift this cup of acceptance, and thank him that we are his children today through his son, Yeshua. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, borei puri hagafen. Amen. Praised art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, creator of the fruit of the vine. Thank you, Lord, that we can walk in relationship with you. Amen. All right. Well, praise the Lord. He is good. Yes, let's give the Lord an offering of praise. Beautiful. And just our summary teaching on the Passover, and it's beautiful for all of us to experience this, and so glad we could come up and share with you all. And ask the musicians to come up maybe for a final song. Is that okay? And so come on up, guys. And well, we'll be around. I'm sure Pastor Rob, some of the leaders, the prayer team, I understand, can be available on the side. Pastor may want to say a word about that, but certainly encourage all of us not to leave this room without knowing that we have that relationship, right relationship with the Lord. So there are some prayer counselors available after service. And I'll be available, some of our people on the back table. I brought our books. I've written two books. Some of you have those from last time. One book on the feasts of Israel, which Passover is just one of them. You know, you got to check out Day of Atonement and all that too. The Feast of Israel, the customs of Israel, and how they relate to the New Testament, and three other books back there of Israel interest and all. So check it out. Call it the Messianic Jewish Chicken Soup for the Soul. Good stuff for you. And that's great. Blessing to join you today.
If you are here today, and one of the things that the salt water reminds me of is when I was in the world, Egypt being that picture of the world, I thought I was free. I thought, man, this is freedom. I can do what I want with whomever I want. But when I became a Christian, I realized that I was actually in slavery. And this picture of the salt water is the tears, yes. But what it tells me also is a slave sweats. And if you've ever tasted your own sweat, it's very salty. And today, maybe you're here and you are still, your life is still in the world because you have not taken the blood of Jesus Christ and applied it to the doorpost of your heart. And so, man, I want you to know you are a slave to sin, you are a slave to the world. You are not free until Jesus sets you free. And then you're free indeed. And so if you are here today and you have never come to that place, for whatever reason, where you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you've never done that and you would like to do that before you leave, we will have a prayer team on each side of the room. Maybe you did it while Pastor Barney was praying and you said, yes, that's me. I need to apply that blood upon the doorposts of my heart because I don't want to face the judgment of God. He loves you. He doesn't want you to face his judgment. That's why he sent Jesus, because he loves you so much. And if you're here today and maybe you once walked with the Lord, but you went back to the world for whatever reason, God is saying to you today, come back to me. I will forgive you. And so right after this next song, we will have our prayer team on each side of the auditorium. They are here. We want to pray with you. If you don't have a Bible, we want to give you one. If you're saying, well, what am I supposed to do? What will they do to me? Nothing. They're just going to love you, and they're going to pray with you. And I want to see you set free to where you're not tasting your own sweat any longer. You can enjoy the freedom that is found in Christ. Whether you're Jew, whether you're Gentile, doesn't matter. We are all one in Jesus Christ. He brought both of us together. That's what's so fun. Lord bless you. We will see you next Sunday after this one.